What's up, Atlanta? Happy Tuesday with Turtle. And yes, we are here for the full four. That's right. And I need every single second of it to break down everything going on in the world of Atlanta sports and sports at large. We have so much going on. We got a World Series decided. We got college football to talk about. Boy, Georgia Tech and UGA appear to be on a collision course, baby. And if that happens, I cannot wait. Great wins for both of them. We got the NBA back tonight, y'all. Da-na-na-na-na-na-na. That's right. That returns Round Ball Rock, an updated version. I'm excited. We get some good matchups, although no LeBron. And then we have the Falcons to talk about. So here's the thing. It's just funny how this stuff works out. So I'm planning out my shows, Orin, for the week, and I got the full show tonight, got a couple of shorty shows, got a Saturday show, so got like an eclectic schedule this week, and I'm trying to think about like, well, what do I think will be, you know, because any day anything can happen. Obviously, we got the Ray McLeod news, we'll get into that in just a second, so you got to always leave room to fit that stuff in, but just in terms of like my main talking points that I want to hit for the week, I'm starting to plan those out. And tomorrow, ironically enough, I planned a whole conversation surrounding QB1. Well, I made a change because, Orin, I was listening to Dukes of Bell today. And boy, oh boy, if y'all aren't fired up about that. So we're going to talk about that tonight. And I could certainly just move what I was going to talk about with y'all tonight to another day this week. Because, wow, there's a lot going on with that man with the strong left arm. And the potentially injured lower portion of his body that's not his foot, not his ankle. I don't know what it is. We'll all find out together. What's going on with him right now? And we'll get into that in just a second. But obviously, if you did miss it, the news of the day is the Falcons did part ways officially with embattled wide receiver Ray McLeod. I was listening to Dukes and Bell, obviously, on my walk over. I agree with them 100%. I mean, they summed it up perfectly. I don't get it. I don't know what happened. Unfortunately, I don't have an answer for you, but we will have Joe Patrick on in his weekly spot coming up in just a little bit. And that'll be the first thing I ask him. Maybe he was able to get some inside skinny on what's going on, but I don't know. I mean, when you have a squad that, I mean, I don't know if I would call it desperate need, but they're certainly in need of wide receiver help. And you have a guy that had 700 yards for you last year. Orin, one would think he'd be in the mix to get some targets, and he really hadn't done anything even before he got sat for a couple of weeks. So I don't know. Honestly, your guess is as good as mine. I don't want to sit here on the radio and just start, you know, blurting out ideas because that's not fair. I don't know. I think there's some pretty obvious correlations to things that stand out. You don't just cut a player or release a player that was A, productive for you last year, and B, plays a position in which you need help and possibly a lot of help if Casey Washington can't catch the ball. So to infer, you know, this is a broad enough statement, Orin, to say without worrying about, you know, misleading people. Something happened. I don't know what it was, but something happened as I throw my hands up in the air and shrug my shoulders. What that something is, I have no idea. And again, it's not my place or your place or anyone else's place unless you are an actual reporter like a Joe Patrick or a D. Orlando Ledbetter to ask those questions and try to infer and work your sources and get to the bottom of it. And maybe Joe did, maybe Joe didn't. I'll ask him and he'll let us know what he knows or what he doesn't know. But that's all we can do. It's just befuddling. It doesn't make any sense. You know, Ray McLeod from 1 year to the next didn't forget how to play football. He was a good player last year. For your third receiver on a team to have nearly 700 yards is pretty good. I mean, he's a player that showed you that, you know, he has what it takes to get it done at the highest level. He had a breakout season last year. For a guy of his level, you know, he's never going to be a number one on a team. So for him, that's a breakout season for him, for his role as a guy who's going to play returners, going to play special teams, is going to, you know, be a slot guy, be a guy that you try to get the ball to down the field at times. He had about as good of a year as he's going to have. So for him to just not be on the team anymore, again, as I shrug my shoulders in the Kia Studios, something happened. There was some disconnect between he and the Falcons that led them to part ways. From the actions on the sidelines, seemed like he was on good spirits. From everything we're hearing, it seems like he was in good to decent to fine spirits. But I don't know. I don't know anything more than that, unfortunately. And there's no way to tell if Raheem Morris, you know, wants to keep it in-house, which obviously you respect. You know, he doesn't want any more distractions than there needs to be for this team. So it's sort of a thing. It just is what it is. Again, we'll ask Joe Patrick when he comes on for his weekly spot, and we'll see what the deal is. But let's talk about quarterback one, shall we? Are you concerned? And I mean this on a couple of different fronts. Let's get this out of the way right away. Michael Penix Jr. started 8 games in the NFL, no, or 9. He started, 3 last year, 6 this year. Yeah, 9 games in the NFL. Please, when calling the show at 404-726-0929, please keep that as a point during the conversation. Let's not forget about that, shall we? So everything we say about Michael Penix Jr. right now is said within that context of is that he started 9 games. But here's where we're going to drill down. Is he right now, A, where you thought he'd be, and B, is his play concerning you at all? Because I think those are both fair questions. So A, let's talk about QB1 tonight. A, again, with the fact that he's only played 9 games as the backdrop of the conversation, is he where you thought he'd be right now through 6 games of the season and 3 last year? Do you think he'd be better? Do you think he's ahead of schedule? You think he's behind schedule? And then B, is that a concern? Should we be concerned right now that Michael Penix Jr. is not where he needs to be, if you believe that? And why am I asking that? If this was a normal season where a team gets a top 10 pick as a quarterback, like the New York Giants, for example, if the Atlanta Falcons were the New York Giants and this was Jackson Dart instead of Michael Penix Jr., I think the answer would be completely different. But because the Atlanta Falcons have such expectations on their shoulders for the GM to keep his job, for the coach to keep his job, for the coordinators to keep their jobs, and not to start this whole thing all over again, do you feel like Michael Penix Jr. is good enough right now to lead this team to the playoffs? Or are you seeing holes in his game that are concerning to you? I think it's a fair question that needs to be asked. I feel like there are certain areas and certain things that we're seeing over and over again on a week in, week out basis that just need improving. And maybe you don't even think it's his fault. Oren, there's a lot of people out there who, I'll put this kindly, maybe not the biggest Zach Robinson fans in the world, just to put it with a little bit of mild sauce on it, to say the least. So if you feel like Zach Robinson is not giving him the adequate play calling and coaching that he needs, that would be a concern. You would fall into the concerned category. It matters so much more for Michael Penix Jr. right now because of the team. Fair or unfair? And I would argue it's unfair. Because again, he started 9 games, and again, we're using that as the backdrop. We know he's going to get better. We know he's going to improve. We know all the talent's there. We've seen all that. He can make every throw. He's got a good head on his shoulders in terms of processing. But there's been some, we'll call them rookie mistakes, that are popping up. And in the losses, they've popped up a lot. Unfortunately, you scored 10 points against a really banged up 49ers defense. Carolina shut you out. I mean, that's really not good. Listen, we've gone through this chapter and verse about quarterbacks in the NFL that have gotten off the slow start. Some of the best to ever do it. Peyton Manning, Troy Aikman, John Elway. Those are three of the best quarterbacks to ever wear a helmet in the NFL. And they all started really slow. So for Michael Penix Jr. to even be where he's at right now, I think is honestly impressive. But if you pair where he is right now versus the expectations of the team, I think that's where you can have a little bit of concern. Because, again, the Atlanta Falcons are not in a position to grow with the pains of their quarterback right now. I still believe, even though it looked like Terry Fontenot had a really good draft, you can't go six seasons in the NFL without a playoff appearance. I'm sorry. You can't do it. You know, part of the seven-year drought was before he got here, but now it's been on him year after year after year. And he has not lived up to the billing, and he has not been able to, A, get a winning record, and B, make the playoffs. So where are you at with QB1 right now? Again, 9 starts. We know all the talent is there. But let's take a real look at where this thing is right now. You're 3-3 through 6 games. He's had a couple of really good games and a couple of really bad games. Are you concerned about Penix's ability to grow throughout the season to get where this team needs to be at the end, which is back in the playoffs? Take your calls when we get back, 404-726-0929. It's Chris Thomas Tonight. Turtle with you till 10.